Amen. For those who may not know, I didn't make that up. You find that in Jeremiah 1 in the Message Bible. The morning of my ordination in 2006, God had me read that scripture. And he highlighted that. Say exactly what I tell you to say. Don't pull any punches or I'll pull you from the lineup. See, when pulling punches is a term that was used in early boxing, you know, where fights were fixed, but you had to put on a good show. So you would throw a punch, but not give it all you got. Okay, so it appeared that you did, but you really didn't, because you actually want your opponent to win. So as a minister of the gospel, as a pastor, if I pull punches, I'm saying I want the devil to win. I'm not pulling any punches. Okay. So when I say things, it's never personal. It's not targeted at any individual. If I have something to say to an individual, we'll schedule a meeting. You know. But no, this forum is so that everybody grows together. And we want everyone to realize the victory that we already have in Christ. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I know for the last 2 years we've been starting with John 3:16, but for now God told me to start here because he said this is something we have to understand, this just as much as we have to understand that God so loved the world, because we can't operate in God so loved the world if we don't know this. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 19, New King James Version, reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So everything about you before Christ doesn't exist anymore. Hallelujah. It's dead. The problem is we don't know that and we keep resurrecting it. You know, we do what I call convenience resurrections. You know, I had to learn. I had to learn. I didn't like it, but I had to learn that I hadn't allowed all of the old me to die. I just buried it so no one else could see it. But I needed it there just in case. You know, just in case this word stuff doesn't work. I can let Foots come back. Okay. And I had to make a choice to kill him once and for all and let him stay dead. At first it was frightening because I felt I was out there all by myself. Then I realized I wasn't. And I realized I was stronger I'm stronger with Christ than I ever was with Foots. Okay. See, people need to know, we need to know who we are, but people need to know who we are. See, that's why we're in this series called Your Reflection, because we need to realize that when people see us, they should be seeing the Christ in us. You know, that's the goal of this. You know, people look at us, and talking from a world perspective, and they'll say, well, those alleged Christians. You know, they're supposed to be Christians. No, we are. The problem is we don't always act like it. We allow ourselves to get caught up. You know, that's why it's written, no soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs. He does the things that only pleases commanding officer. Well, we forget those. We get caught up in things. We get caught up in social issues. We get caught up in political issues. We get caught up in all kinds of stuff. And I'm not saying that it's not important. I'm saying we're not handling it the way we're supposed to. Believe it or not, there was social stuff, there was political stuff going on in the early church. I haven't read anywhere, well, that's not accurate. The only place I read where the church did something was when they had to put the man out that slept with his father's mother. They addressed that, but they said, don't leave him out there. Just do it for a little while so he realizes what he's done, but bring him back. What the early church did was they stayed true to who they were and to what they were called to do. When they prayed for strength to do what they were called to do. I haven't found one prayer, and if you have, let me know, but I haven't found one prayer where the early church was praying government officials out of office and all this other stuff. I haven't found one. One. They talked about it, and they prayed. And, I mean, the prayer that it's sending chills through me right now, and I think about it. When Peter and John were threatened, and you know, I like what the Bible says, they were further threatened and fully threatened. I mean, a threat is a threat. But when they were threatened with being beaten, it wasn't like take off your belt and you know, 3-4 whacks. You got 39 stripes with a scourge, which is like a cat of nine tails, with pieces of glass and rock and stuff in it. So when they hit you across your back, it opened up your back. That's the type of beatings that they were willing to take. And so that when they were threatened with that, it was supposed to make them shake in their boots. They went back and said, yeah, they threatened to beat us. And they all came together in unity. Half of them didn't say, let's go kill them. Another half didn't say, let's make some signs and protests. They all came together in unity and prayed. And they said, Father, you heard their threats. Now grant us boldness, not to go and beat them up, boldness to speak your word. And that signs and wonders be done in the name of your holy child, Jesus. That's the way they handled the political persecutions and things. We've gotten away from that. And God is trying to reel us back in and get our focus back where it should be. See, it's not about us. Tell your neighbor, it's not about me. It's about him. Okay. Last week we talked about echoing God's intense love towards one another. And I told you, you know, that an echo just means repeat, imitate. And it usually talks about sound, so we talked about it from a perspective of sound. And I told you that sometimes when you speak a word, the echo comes back and it's not as strong as the original word spoken. Well, the reason that is, it's one of two things. One is there's a lot of clutter, so there's a lot of bouncing around of the sound waves. I told you that to know we have to get rid of all the clutter and all the stuff that's stopping us from hearing God clearly. And the other thing is, it comes back weak because the further away you are from the source, the weaker the echo. The closer you are, the stronger the echo. So we need to get as close to God as we can so that the echo that comes back is just as strong as the original word that went out. Look at 1 Peter, no, not 1 Peter 4. Look at James 4, please. James 4. I'm going to share this out of the Passion Translation. You know I like that translation, but that's not why I'm sharing it from there. Because if we're going to truly echo God's intense love, we have to get rid of all the clutter and all that stuff. You know, all of those rancid thoughts that we allow to, you know, the thought's going to come in. That's not the problem. The problem is when the thought comes in, we let it stay. In James 4, verse 7 and 8, Passion Translation reads, So then surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. So why are we running away from him? He said, you stand up to him and resist him. How many of you watch Animal Channel and you know, anybody other than me watch those kind of things? Yeah. As I've told you before, I'm enamored with predators. I don't know why. But I just watch their characteristics and things. And I noticed something a few years ago that was amazing. A lion was chasing a gazelle. And the lion knows he's king and the gazelle is food and the gazelle knows he's food. But the gazelle, I guess, figured I don't have anything to lose. So he stopped and turned around and ran toward the lion. The lion stopped dead in his tracks. Wow. Because they're not used to being chased. They'd never seen that before. So I said, whoa, wait, why'd he do that? I mean, and that gave the gazelle enough time to get away. predators are used to chasing, not being chased. So when you run at it, it stops. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Food runs. Does this thing think I'm food? So you have to stand up to the devil. I saw a movie called The Bear. And it was just about this little cub. His mother was killed in a rock slide, so this cub was surviving on its own. And it befriended a male grizzly. And that in itself is unique because male bears, if they're hungry, will eat the little bears. And this cub was walking around, and it came across a mountain lion. And to the mountain lion, that little cub was lunch. And the cub was whining and, you know, trying to get away, and he couldn't. And again, he didn't have any choice. So he just reared up on its hind legs and started growling. And the mountain lion looked at him, growling, backed away and turned and ran. The camera panned back, and this huge grizzly bear was standing behind him. That mountain lion didn't see that cub. That mountain lion saw who was backing the cub up. Okay. Well, that's the way it is when we stand up to the devil. He doesn't see us. He sees the Christ in us. He sees us as God. He sees us as being one with authority. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to take some time and show you that in detail in a few minutes. Lost my place. Okay. He said, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, you sinners, and keep your heart pure, and stop doubting. Stop thinking, you know, your sin is so great. I keep looking for it. I still have not found a gauge for sin. I haven't found anything that said this is a little sin and this is a big sin. Human beings do that. God looks at it as being sin or not sin. There's no difference between a lie and a murder as far as God's concerned. They're both sin. And we need to see them the same. Now see that. When you tolerate, one of the reasons we're faced with all of the uproar socially and politically and economically and all of that stuff is that we tolerated little things 20, 25 years ago. We tolerated them. And each time we did that, we were giving the enemy a foothold. And he kept building on it. My wife and I, we were talking about it, was it last night or this morning about the lobster in the pot? I think it was last night we were talking. We had a great conversation last night. But we were talking, and you can put a lobster in a pot of cold water, put it on the stove, turn the flame on low, and it'll be just as happy. Won't realize anything, and next thing you know, it's cooked. It won't even feel it. Because it's such a little subtle change. I could adjust to this. I could adjust to this. I could adjust to this. Next thing you know, so you're being stuffed. And they're pouring drawn butter over you. Or you're on sale at Red Lobster. But in oil, it started, the Bible says that the serpent was more subtle. The serpent didn't come right out there and say, look, I'm the devil in disguise and this is what I'm going to do. Because you wouldn't accept that. No, it'll come with little things. Well, it's a little different, but okay. You know, we just get in trouble. We like this. You know, we will see a personality, but man, she has pretty eyes. So you put up with it. Then you find out that those pretty eyes are about the only thing that was pretty. And you'll find out, yeah, he has a nice smile. I was a youth director for over 18 years. I heard it all. Oh, but you don't know, Mr. Carr, he has green eyes. And does he have a clean heart? You know. Or I like what Pastor Dollar did when he said there's the, honey, would you tell, because I don't remember all of it. When he said there's nothing to talk about.
This is one of my favorites. Pastor Dollar was speaking about dating. So he said, you all are dating and meeting people and you like them. And Pastor Dollar, we don't have anything to talk about. He said, you don't have anything to talk about. You know how he speaks too. You don't have anything to talk about. Ask him, do you have a job? Have you been in jail? Do you have a bank account? Are you on drugs? He went down the line. Do you have, there are children here, but do you have a disease, you know? He went on and on. And, you know, I thought about that. I've never forgotten it. I said, he is absolutely right.
Thank you. We can't tolerate stuff. We have to stay pure. But see, there's an expectation that God has for us. And we'll start talking about it in John 14. I just want you to turn there. This is in the King James, but I'm also going to share it in the Passion. John 14, beginning at verse 8. Jesus was talking with Philip, and he said to Philip, or Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He says, oh, show us the Father, and that'll be enough. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father.
Praise God.
So how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father.
Amen. Thank you.
Believeth thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Passion Translation says, Philip spoke up, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be all we need. Jesus said, Philip, I've been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am? How could you ask me to show you the Father? For anyone who has looked at me has seen the Father.
Amen.
And I have a question. Can the world say that about us? You know, can they say, yep, I see the Father in you? He said, don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I'm living in the Father? Even my words are not my own. Even my words are not my own. So I can't just say anything I feel like saying. No matter what happens or what I'm going through, I have to wait, listen, and repeat. That's what I have to do.
That's right.
Wait, listen for the revelation that I'm constantly receiving from the Holy Ghost, according to 1 Corinthians 12:7, and then repeat what I'm hearing. Said, even my words are not my own, but come from the Father. He lives in me and performs his miracles of power through me. And I realize this is not a new requirement or procedure or expectation. Go to Genesis 1. When God was recreating the earth, he spoke and things happened. And he didn't have to be specific. He just said, light be. He didn't have to address molecules and all. He said, light be. Mm-hmm. And whatever had to happen for light to be, happened.
Yes.
I'll never forget Pastor Clinton teaching us. He said, don't argue with folks that talk about the Big Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. Don't argue with them. They're probably right. God said, light be. Bang! So whatever, you know, they're saying, you know, two large objects came together, one pulled chunks out. Maybe. Maybe. When God was ready to create the earth, we don't know what happened. If earth create, things just started moving. You know, if they had to come together and pull chunks out, it probably happened. You know, why are we arguing with it? When you know the truth. In verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now, I'm that guy who thinks, you know, why would he say that? Well, why did he have to say that? Well, God was the one that had dominion. And he wanted to create a being who would have the same dominion as him. So he had to say to the Godhead, he had to say to Jesus, he had to say to the Holy Ghost, we're going to make man in our own image and after our likeness, and we're going to let man have dominion. Didn't say some dominion. Said, let man have dominion. So God's intention was for man to have the same dominion that he has. The same dominion. He was the one, and he was going to create man and give his dominion, or give the same dominion that he has as God, to man. Genesis 7 gives us the details of man's creation. Genesis 2:7. It says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But see, that wasn't enough. So God, understand it, God meticulously formed man in his own image and after his likeness. God knew that all creation responded to him. And he needed all creation to respond to his man. So his man had to have all of the attributes as him, or creation wouldn't respect it. It's just that simple. To maintain control of this earth that God was recreating, his presence had to be present in order to maintain control. He knew he wasn't going to physically be there, so to speak. He created a being, put his likeness, put his spirit into this being, and said, you now have dominion.
Hallelujah.
It's your job to keep things under control. Okay? But there was something about that scripture that piqued my curiosity. And I've read that, we've read that account. I don't know how many times we've read that account in Genesis. I never saw this or never thought of it before. The Bible says that out of the ground, God formed all these beasts of the field and stuff, and he took them to Adam for Adam to name. That's cool. No problem with that. But then I started thinking, he formed man from the ground, but in order for man to have life, God had to breathe into man's nostrils. How come he didn't have to breathe into the animals? I said, I mean, I'm that guy. I sit down and I think about those things. And I was asking God about it. I said, okay, God, it's time for an HGR. Okay. You don't know that. That means Holy Ghost revelation. Okay. Because God didn't have to breathe into any other creature. But he breathed into man. Remember I said man had to be a reflection of God's image? Well, something else needed to happen. It wasn't just the image. It was also the likeness. God is a spirit. Man, at that point, man didn't have a spirit. So when God breathed into man, really he was breathing his spirit into man, and the spirit of God is what gave life to the man. And now man has something in him that can communicate with God, spirit to spirit. God doesn't need to communicate with a cow. Okay. But he needed to communicate with his man because his man was given authority. And in order for man to keep the garden, in order for man to be the person in control, in addition to being the image of God, he also had to be the likeness of God. He had to have a spirit in which God could dwell and work through. The only way man could become the likeness of God was for man to be indwelled with the Spirit of God. So God breathed his spirit into man. And the Spirit of God gave life to the man. Now let's talk about the woman. Because the Bible doesn't say God formed woman from the dust of the ground. The Bible doesn't say God had to breathe into the woman. So how did she get life? The woman, I'm going to read this thought. The woman is the only one who was not made from the ground when God recreated the earth. All the beasts of the field, that doesn't mean men are beasts, but every other creature was made from the ground, not the woman. And like I said, I'm that guy, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, why? God's desire was for man and woman to function as one. If he made both directly from the ground, they'd be two absolute separate creatures. They have nothing in common. It says in Genesis 2, from verse 21 to 25 in the King James, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. The reason I stumble it when I get that word woman, because I'm thinking of the first time Adam saw her. He was like, whoa, man! Whoa! And God said, that sounds like a pretty good name, woman. First time guest, this is who I am. Okay. Right. I'm sorry? Yeah, I got it from my spiritual dad, Pastor Clinton. Another sidestep here. For all of those women in the room who are not married, it says God He said, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Doesn't say God made a woman and said, you need a man. And she's running around saying, where are you at? Well, I got to find me a man. No, the woman was where she was supposed to be. Amen. With her father. And her father presented her. Ladies, you have to take the time, let yourself be presented.
Yes.
And stop running, because I guarantee you go looking for something, you'll find it. But it might not be what you want. And it certainly won't be what you need. Okay. But God brought her unto the man. And the man's reaction was, whoa, man. That's the way. And Adam said, this is another one of those moments for me. That's why it takes me so long to prepare, because I get caught up in these moments. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I said, okay, he said bone of my bone. Why did God use bone and why a rib bone? You know, I think about those. I ask God about those things because if it's written, it has to have some significance. So I did some study. Bone is living, growing tissue. Dirt's not. He wanted woman to be made from something alive. And he wanted woman to be able to grow, to get bigger, to get stronger. It's mostly made of collagen and calcium. Collagen is a protein that provides a soft framework. And calcium phosphate is a mineral that adds strength and toughness to the framework. This combination of collagen and calcium makes bones strong and flexible enough to withstand stress. So the woman, which the Bible referred to as the helpmeet, the person that's supposed to work together with the man to bring God's purposes to pass, was created to give the man compassion, help the man conform to God, and help the man know when to stand strong, when to be flexible, and when to stay and how to stay stress-free. Now, it wasn't just any bone. It was a rib. And I was hungry when I wrote this, so I wrote, ribs are not just good eating with some sauce, greens, and potato salad. Folks, the word of God, it should be fun, not funny. Okay. But ribs are protective bones. They protect vital organs. And they protect that which sustains your life. God made woman from a rib because she's to protect vital organs and to protect that which sustains life. So husbands, don't stop getting upset because sometimes it appears that your wife is more sensitive to the things of God than you are. That's just the way it is sometimes. It doesn't mean that we're not. But God knew how he created us. And he knew what we needed to complement us so that we could all do what we're supposed to do, and that's be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and keep it under control. And to do that job, you can't just be a hammer. You know, there are other things that the woman brings to the table that man doesn't have. I mean, that's just the way it is. So the woman being made from the man's rib can signify that the woman was to protect, just like man was to protect. Bone of my bone, protect like I protect. So therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. No longer two different people, they are one body with many members. Where do we hear that before? See, that this is Old Testament, this is Genesis, this is the first book of the Bible. The man and woman were to share each other's life, share each other's strength, because they have the same spirit. See, he didn't have to breathe into the woman because the life was already in Adam. So when he took the rib had life, gives life. He didn't need to do anything else. The same spirit that was in Adam was in the woman when he created her, because we created her with bone from Adam, with this living tissue from Adam. So now you have two beings. Well, first look at Psalm 8. This is in the Amplified Bible. I hope you're following along. Psalm 8, Amplified Bible, Classic Edition. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of earth-born man that you care for him? Yet you have made him," talking about man, "a little lower than God or the heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet." So we need to know, we were created to have dominion over everything God made. So I have a question. Who created the devil?
God.
But we have dominion over all the works of his hands.
Yes, yes.
Lucifer was a work of God's hands. So now you have two beings on the earth who are crowned with the glory of God. So now man has both the image and the likeness of God. And anyone they confront doesn't see a man or a woman. They see the image and likeness of God. So when man or woman, because they're one, when they speak, everything has to obey, because it's not man or woman that's seen and heard or heard. It's the glory of God. It's God's voice, because everything is now seeing the image and likeness of God. And the Bible says they were both naked, the man and the woman, and they were not ashamed. Well, they didn't have anything to be ashamed about because they didn't see nakedness. They saw the glory of God was reflecting through them, and that's all that they saw. So they could now imitate God. They were made in his image. They had his likeness. They were covered in his glory. They could do what God does. And that's significant, because now God's presence can always be felt, because you have people who act like him. Now pay close attention to this. God created man in his image and his likeness. God crowned man with his glory. But there's something that we don't seem to understand. God also gave man some conditions so that man could maintain the glory, so man could maintain the image and the likeness. Genesis 2, verse 15 and 17, the Message Bible just mushes it in your face. It said, God took the man, set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. God commanded the man, "You can eat from any tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead." Man and woman ate from the forbidden tree, and all their authority, all their dominion, all of God's glory lifted from them. Now they're naked and ashamed. Couldn't see in nakedness before because all they saw was glory. Now the glory's gone. I believe that's when fear came in for animals and things because the animals didn't recognize them anymore. Look, what's that? I don't know. Maybe it's food. Let's see. You know, I don't know. They had so much available, and they lost it because of a choice. They didn't lose it because the devil was strong or stronger. They lost it because they didn't exercise what they were given. Dominion. Authority. I don't care how tough anyone thinks they are. They are not going to talk stuff and try and seduce my wife into doing things, and I'm standing right there? I don't think so. You'll read about it on Fox News. That's right, Aunt Francis. That's one time. The likeness of Foots may come back. I had this saying. I said, we'll have a meeting and I'll leave barefoot. I couldn't understand why Adam, knowing who he was, knowing what he was given, and knowing the instructions that he was given, would stand there and let the devil talk all that stuff to his wife. When all he had, he had to say two words, shut up. And that's it. Yes. Or he could have said, get out of my garden. And it would have had to happen. But remember I said we tolerate stuff and we wonder about things. I believe, because like I said, I'm that guy. I think this way because I'm thinking, why would anyone do that? I believe that Adam was probably wondering what would happen if someone ate from the tree. Because I think if Eve bit into that fruit and dropped dead, he's like, God, I need another one. You know, I mean, but when she bit into that fruit and didn't drop dead because Adam didn't understand that God was talking about spiritual death, he took it and he ate it too. Because I'm telling you, she bites and drops dead, he is not going to pry that fruit from her hand and say, I got to try this too. So he had to be thinking also. And I think the devil was standing. They'd come if this tree, they'd come looking. I wonder how it tastes. That looks good. Well, the Bible says every tree in the garden was pleasing to the eye and good for food. Every tree. They had so much available. Just like we do today. We have in Christ, we have so much that's available to us. The Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we have to maintain the image and the likeness, which means there are choices that we have to make also. That's why Jesus told Philip, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So when Paul was giving instructions to the church at Ephesus, he said to them in Ephesians 5, the first verse, he said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers of God. Well, I'd like to know what words mean. You know, this is translated. I'd like to know what was the original meaning of it. So I went to material. As you know, I really enjoy reading the studies by Pastor Rick Renner. And I was looking at some of his material, and it said that Greek word that means followers means to imitate someone or to mimic them. mimic what you see them doing. It was also used to describe performing artists, actors, things like that, who acted on stage for their professions. Same word. Because they were... Has anyone ever been in a play in school growing up? Yep. And you had to play a part, and you know, you had to, you know, and if you have those times when you're imitating your teachers or whatever, you try and pick up their mannerisms and their voice inflections and all of those types of things. Well, that's what that word means. It's doing all of those things. You're doing everything you can to look like and sound as close to this other individual as possible. That's what that word followers means. Okay, it's also the modeling of a parent, teacher, or someone famous. When a person was known for his high moral character, others were encouraged to copy that person. You know, before this new era of basketball, the saying was, you got to be like Mike. You know, you have these folks trying to imitate these Michael Jordan moves, things. Okay. Well, just as a professional actor is committed to mimicking the emotions, looks, voice, character, and even the appearance of the person they're portraying, our entire being should be committed to imitating God in everything that we do.
Hallelujah. Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
Everything that makes us should be trying to imitate God. I've said several times we have a choice. Well, choice applies here. When we receive Christ, we regained all that Adam and Eve gave away.
Yes.
But they're choices we have to make, because the devil can't take anything from us.
Nope.
The devil can't do it. He can't. How could someone, think about it. Jesus said, I give you power, authority over all the power of the devil. One translation says, I give you physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. So since that is so, how can the devil influence us to do anything if I have mental power, mental authority over anything he's got? I have physical strength over anything that he's got. Anything. So he can't do anything to me, and he can't make me do anything unless I want to. And therein lies the problem. And the only reason folks don't see Christ when they see us is we don't want them to. We don't want them to. We start out with innocent terminology like closet Christian. We don't want anyone to know we're Christian. We don't want anyone to know what we believe. They might make fun of us. So, they're going to make fun of you anyway. Because when you're trying to do what they do, you're really out of place. When you don't know the language, or you're going to pull a Peter. Let's say you sound like them. Peter, oh yeah, would a person of God say this? And then just start speaking all this nonsense. No, we have to stop trying to, see, we're going after the image and likeness of the world, not the image and likeness of God. And we do it, again, subtly. You know, a little subtle thing. Now, I'm not saying God is bald, you know, but, you know, they folks, they give put subtle pressure. You know, they started sending me, first I started getting phone calls, little spam calls. I'm like, how do they know? I'm not going to ask my wife because she's going to tell me how they know. Being online. But I never looked up hair care products online. But I get these calls from the hair club for men, you know, and all this stuff. And they say, feel good about yourself. I do. But they'll tell you, make me think I have to have a shirt on with a particular logo to feel good about myself. So that people will like me. They show someone standing off by themselves at a party They're just off by themselves because they have on the wrong clothes. So they change their clothes. Now they're drinking and they're smoking and they're doing all of these things that are going to kill them in the long run, but they're popular. We're doing things that will kill us in the long run, trying to be the image and likeness of something other than God. Being the image and likeness of something that's not being godly. We must make decisions to keep what God gave us. And the only way we can keep it is to act like God. But there's something even more compelling about that verse. I started at the end. The front of it was to be therefore. Listen to this. That phrase in original Greek means be constantly in the process of becoming. Yeah. It means you've started some action in life and you're continuing to work because you're not there yet, but you're committed to being there, so you just keep at it. You keep at it. Be constantly in the process of becoming. You stay in that conversion process, so to speak. Successfully acting like God is not something that you always get on the first try. But you keep at it. And to do that, you have to do things that we learn from the scriptures. You have to capture those thoughts and make your thoughts obey Christ. You have to make them obey Christ. You say, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not thinking that. And we replace those thoughts. We make ourselves think something different. When you think something badly about someone, make yourself think good things. Yes. Yeah. So I don't know any good things about them. We'll say the things God said about them. Because all of those things are good. Okay? God didn't think about this. He knew Judas was going to betray him. And he never spoke badly about Judas. He didn't say to his disciples, look out for this guy. He didn't do that. All he said to Judas was, what you do, do quickly. No one knew what he was talking about. He didn't put Judas' business out there in the street for everybody. And he didn't tell the folks, I'm about to go through something, but Patrick, stay clear of Peter because he's going to lose it. Okay, and then he may give you up to try and save himself. No, he didn't talk about Peter to anybody. Because he loved them, remember, love covers a multitude of sins? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. So when you think about what these words mean, Ephesians 5 could read a little different. It could read, be constantly in the process of becoming more like God. Make it your aim to act like him, to duplicate him, and to exactly copy him in every area of your life. Every area. Then he that sees you will see the Father. That's all. I'm quoting Pastor Rick on this. He said, very early in life, people learn that they must act a certain way in order to get what they want. If their behavior is wrong, they know that they must act differently. Changing behavior requires a decision to do things differently, to speak differently, to think differently, and to act differently. It all starts with a decision. That's what you just decide, I'm doing this. Adam and Eve made the wrong decision, and it cost them everything that was given to them. If we don't want to lose everything that was given to us, we're going to have to make better decisions. And the only way we're going to make better decisions is to be imitators of God in everything that we do. The New Life Version says, do as God would do. The Amplified Bible says, be imitators of God, copy him, follow, and follow his example. And all of them say something else. Do this because you're much loved. We have to understand that God loves us so much that we want to, just as a result of his love, we want to be like him. We want to look like him. We want to act like him. We want everybody to see him when they see us. Think about this. Let it roll through your head. We're going to be imitators of God because we know God intensely loves us. We're intensely loved by him. And he wants us to keep everything that he's given us. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. We can imitate God and live, or we can imitate the devil and die.